Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you, and thank you for your warm welcome. It is Diane's first time to be standing here, but she's listened to your services many times online. And congratulations on your efforts to go hybrid. We recognise that that is a challenge, and many churches are facing the challenge of how to go into the future. This morning, we're looking at Psalm 105, verses 1 to 7, as has been beautifully read to us by our sister Lucy. And this, for Diane and me, is our passage for 2022. It's about looking to the past and seeing God at work in the midst of his people. It gives us a way of living in the present and looking to the future through living with God in the everyday. Now, a few days ago, this week passed, we were in Canberra for the funeral of a very special friend. We were remembering with sadness and joy the life of our friend Patricia. It was a joyful time. In some ways, for a life well lived. She finished well, though young, and she is with her Heavenly Father. Personally, she led me to Jesus, and that's why we are here today before you. How did Jesus find you? Remembering, funerals, such as the one we just had, are primarily about remembering. And the words are often by someone who has a special relationship with the person who has departed, who reminisces or remembers. And those who are present to hear often learn something new about the one who has passed on. And that's important for all of us to hear these stories, but particularly for younger people who understand the departed person and the wider picture in a broader way. In my friend's case, that involved us remembering God's goodness, God's working in her life for many years as his daughter, a lifetime of ministry. Okay, so Psalm 105 is about helping God's people to remember. It was composed to call Israel to remember his faithfulness through the ups and downs of their history over many, many generations. Israel was also familiar with these words because they're found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 when King David brought the ark into Jerusalem with singing and dancing. Psalm 105 records various stages in their history as a nation. Now, each new generation needed to hear these words in order to learn themselves to call on God and not depend on their parents' faith. That was the role of parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. Then, it's also our role today, isn't it? Everywhere, to tell stories of God at work in our lives, particularly to younger people, particularly those who are perhaps discouraged. God at work transforming us, renewing us, rescuing us, giving us our identity, our purpose, our future. And we pass this on to the next generation. And we do that especially as we sit around the mealtime, a table together. And that's a great possibility for those of you who are celebrating Chinese New Year in just a couple of weeks, isn't it? Congratulations. Jeff last week talked from Revelation about God's universal purpose in our world and about God giving us our identity, our purpose, and our future. And we want to develop this idea now from Psalm 105 as we look at the psalmist's call to God's people to remember his past grace toward us, toward all people. That's an assurance for our future as we praise him, as we proclaim his name, as we rejoice in his goodness, and as we seek his face daily.
Well, Christmas has come and gone, and we certainly remember Christmases with fond memories of our time in Singapore. I wonder what you remember of Christmas 2021. For us, it was with family. Our daughter and her family had come from France to be with us for just 3 weeks, but very precious times. You see, Christmas is really about remembering. Remembering what God did 2,000 years ago. God coming in human form. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ, the Messiah, God's anointed one, the priest, the king, the prophet for us. But Psalm 105 is more than for Israel, it is for us today. We are descendants, of course, of Abraham by faith, God's chosen ones in Christ. And we can read and listen to the Old Testament today as more than God's faithfulness with Israel. It's preparing the way for Jesus the Christ and eventually the new people of God, based not on blood, but on faith in what God has done for us in the cross and resurrection for you and me. Now, New Year is also about remembering. Again, I wonder what the highlights of 2021 were for you and how good it would be to open up our time to hear your stories, both of from here in the gathering and those that who are joining us in Zoom today. What do you want to remember? What stories do you have of faithfulness? How do you see life in a new light as we move forward in the coming days to 2022? And so Psalm 105 is about looking to the past and seeing God at work in the midst of his people. But it also gives us a way of looking to the future and living right here in the present. Let's look at that through the life of God in the everyday. As we look at Psalm 105, those first seven verses we read, there are 11 action words there. Words like praise, proclaim, make known, sing, tell, very action-oriented, seek, and many more. You see, these words describe a way of life, a spirituality that's both individual but also shared. As in our world today, the perspective on life from Psalm 105 doesn't come from sailing on smooth seas. Rather, it comes from passing through those difficult storms in our tumultuous world. So how can we live in 2022 as a community of God's people? So here's what we discovered in Psalm 105. There is praise. There is the call to proclaim, to rejoice, to seek, and to remember.
Praise. Hold up your index finger. Praise. All right. That is God's word to us today. We find this in Psalm 105, where it says in verse 1, "Give praise to the Lord. Sing to him. Sing praise to him." And verse 3, "Glory in his holy name." Now, there are various words that this psalm uses for our English word praise, to praise God, to praise God's holy name, to glory in his holy name. This word glory is halal, which gives us the word hallelujah, which means give praise to the Lord. Now, the whole of our Bible is punctuated with outbursts of praise. How are we going to do that in 2022. How are you praising God today? Praise him for his sovereignty. I can't make sense of the world around me. You can't make sense of the world around you. But he understands our world. It makes perfect sense to him. So praise him, especially when it all seems too much, too confusing for our small brains, because his brain is a lot bigger than mine. How do you praise God? Ask him to give you eyes to see his fingerprints in the world around you. A beautiful flower or a garden, a magnificent sunset or perhaps a sunrise. Two people asking and granting forgiveness and reconciliation together. How beautiful is that? Someone you love finding peace with God. Your prayer request of many years finally granted. So, what is your praise right now? Well, God's people had always brought praise through music and song, and we see that in 1 Chronicles 16 as David is bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And verse 3 reminds us that God's name is to be praised because it is holy. That means set apart. His holy name recognizes that God is in a class of his own. He alone in all the universe is worthy of praise. Now, the Psalms were used by the early church as their songbook. And to these they added songs of praise to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, what we've just been singing now. Now, Diane and I have personally experienced the privilege of singing hymns and songs of praise around the world. For us, that's often been in a foreign language. We speak Spanish, but not much else. And we've found that, well, PowerPoint really helps when you're speaking a foreign language, doesn't it? But we've found that there's a common language of praise around the world, just as we're meeting here today, praising God. We could be in any country of the world with people praising God and we would feel at home. We're a people of praise, especially when the world is dark and uncertain.
Proclaim his name. Now, the word proclaim can mean to call, to announce, to make known amongst the nations what he has done. And we're pushed here to tell of his wonderful acts, both here in our own environments in Sydney and, of course, and every part of the globe. We're called to join with God in living out the good news in his world as his co-workers. We're also called to pray for our neighbour and the communities of people where there are no witnesses at all, to proclaim by our actions as well as our words, to share a message of hope personally and to enable others to proclaim as they hear the message in their own languages. What a joy it is to partner with those, with mission partners that you have prayed for. Let me introduce you to the Joshua Project. The Joshua Project, you'll find it online, and it gives us insights into different communities around the world who have yet to hear or only beginning to hear the good news of Jesus. Just yesterday, in the Joshua Project, we were brought to pray and to think about the Fulani in northern Nigeria and across West Africa, 17 million of them, where only one or less than one in every 1,000 people are believers. They are cattle herders, an intense competition for water and for land with other herders and other agriculturalists. And it's this competition that leads for increasing cycles of violence and pain that splash across our newscasts. Sim began working in this part of the world over 100 years ago. And many people have given their lives. We've been to their graves to reach people like the Fulani and others. But you see, for the Fulani to be reached with the gospel, that requires an approach that is unique as they are. It means employing all the principles of communicating, working cross-culturally, beginning, of course, building precious relationships through, first of all, language learning. Traditionally, the Fulani speak Fulfulde, which is a remarkable but a very complex language. But even more important than the skills any gospel worker could bring is a heart for people, a willingness to work alongside of local believers, and a really strong sense of resilience because plans change so quickly. And so the work amongst the Fulani in West Africa continues, amongst these nomadic people, with four families already serving in one particular area, focusing on church planting. This team is praying for workers with experience in agriculture, in veterinarian training, and with medical skills to better serve and engage the community. In recent years, our colleagues in SIM have recognized the need to redouble our efforts to proclaim the good news of Jesus, not only amongst the Fulani, but amongst others, other communities of sub-Saharan Africa, particularly those from Muslim backgrounds, animists, who have yet to hear the good news of Jesus in any meaningful way. We make known the good news of Jesus, his wonderful acts. Perhaps you and I are not called to serve amongst these people, but we can support those who are called to take the gospel to places where it is not known. We are together called to proclaim his name by our actions, sometimes our words. I ask you, in what ways are you making known God's story in your community to those who don't understand?
So, praise, index finger. Middle finger is proclaim. Ring finger, rejoice. Yes. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Be glad. Delight in. Very, very common word in the Psalms, isn't it? Often used in the midst of trials and struggles. When I spoke here to you last September, we talked about lament. I hope some of you remember that. We lament as expressing our pain and our sorrow to God and to others in our words and our actions. Now, lament and rejoicing are not opposites. They belong together if we understand our identity and purpose as broken people in a broken world who are co-workers with God to restore this creation to a new creation. Now, as weak people, the psalm tells us to look to the Lord and his strength. So, what are you rejoicing in? Now, if you want to explore further this idea of rejoicing in the midst of suffering and finding strength in weakness, go to the book of Philippians, because Paul addresses those people who have faithfully stood beside him in the worst of all trials. And here in Philippians, in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "My brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for," and he calls them "my joy, my crown." This lets us know what we are to rejoice in, that God is achieving his purposes in the world through his people. Great cause for rejoicing. Now, for many around us in the world, the uncertainty and the purposelessness of our time means to them that things are just out of control. Okay? Even during Christmas, what we call the festive season, how can people be positive, hopeful, and joyful when they don't know the God of hope? So at Christmas time, we Christians sing "Joy to the World." You know it. The Lord has come. let earth receive her king. Now, why Christmas? Why not sing it every day? 365 days of the year? Well, 366 if it's a leap year. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Isn't that beautiful? And we have that hope that brings joy. We have a sense of purpose in our world that brings joy. And to repeat what Jeff said last Sunday, our Heavenly Father has granted to us, his children, an identity, a purpose, and a future that is grounded in him. We can be an NAP, a non-anxious presence in an anxious world, because our sovereign Lord is worthy of praise. We patiently and hopefully proclaim our God who is in control, and we rejoice that nothing can separate us from the love of God and his mysterious plan that is unfolding. So what stories do you bring today that we could hear that would cause us all to rejoice?
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55, words from verse 6. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the righteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Seek the Lord. Jesus also tells us, do not worry about food and clothing, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6. And then he goes on to say in Matthew 7, seek and you will find. I wonder what seeking the Lord in daily life looks like for you. This month, many Australians are away on holidays. But sadly, many of those who we see the other 11 months of the year give more time to planning their holidays than to planning for eternity. Also, sadly, in 2022, many Christians will seek more insights on life from the movies than they will from reading or seeking answers from God's word. Psalm 105 says that the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. If life is hard, seek the Lord. Will 2022 be a good year for you? Whether it is or it isn't, seek the Lord in your daily life. Encourage others to seek the Lord. But just a warning, when we sincerely seek, we must be ready to listen. What will God bring across our paths? On a personal note, Philip and I are taking these next 6 months to seek the Lord during our sabbatical time. What will he have for us in this next season? I think many of us are expecting that the coming years will be a completely different season. As we explore what he would have us to do professionally in the world of mission, doing more study, mauling, and seeking to work closely with our fellow colleagues in ministry. Pray for us as we will pray for you.
Index finger, praise. Middle finger, proclaim. Ring finger, rejoice. Little finger, seek the Lord. Finally, we're back to where we started. Five fingers, remember, remember. Remember God's work in your life in the past. Some of you carry within you memories of really tough stuff, growing up overseas or here in Australia, coming to Australia, trying to find, as Jeff had said, a new identity, a new purpose, a new future in this secular land. And some of you have experienced aloneness, lostness, confusion. And I can personally identify with that from our times overseas, beginning in Japan when I was a teenager, but soon after when we headed over to South America and as we've lived in Africa and Asia and that sort of thing. Diane and I recently had dinner with friends of ours, a couple from the Middle East, who've been here nearly 3 years and are working hard to find their way. The reality is that you are here today and God has worked in your life. God is working in your life. He can redeem those memories and he can turn your story into something that helps others. I say that with all seriousness, that God can use your past to help others. And a Chinese Australian colleague of ours, not from Malaysia, but from Indonesia, tells his life-changing story of coming with his family to Sydney when he was around 12 years of age and being, I think the word is dumped, by his well-meaning father into an all-white high school of big sport-crazy peers. And along the journey that he survived high school, he went to medical school, but his father desperately wanted him to be a doctor, and he did. But after that, he shifted careers into a Christian leadership position. Sadly, his father, initially, as he tells the story, initially disowned him. But now they have a great relationship, so that's wonderful. Our friend tells this story frequently in conferences, and inevitably there are people who resonate with his experience and want to talk to him. So now he's written a book about his journey. It's a story of grace at work, of God making meaning out of the troubled past. So remembering, what does it mean for you to remember God's faithfulness in your past? In Psalm 105, Israel is called to remember God's faithfulness in her past. And in 2022, we are called to remember God's faithfulness in our past, individually and as a church and as families. That's why we're here today. So in 2022, let's see our role in a broken world that God is redeeming and restoring to praise, proclaim, rejoice, seek, as we remember. Now, there should be a little insert in your bulletin, but Diane and I want to give you some questions to reflect on this week, centred around Psalm 105. The first question is, what are you praising God for? Think about it. What are you praising God for? What can you praise God for? Secondly, proclaim his name. In what ways are you making known God's story within your immediate community and within the wider world? The third question is, rejoice. How might being a non-anxious presence in an anxious world foster joy in you and in others around you? The fourth thing is seek. What does seeking the Lord in daily life look like for you? And what does it look like to those around you as you seek the Lord? And finally, remember. What does remembering God's faithfulness in your past look like for you? And how is it helping you today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a gracious and a good, a God who works good in restoring our broken world and our broken lives. And we thank you, Lord, for these words that echo down the centuries, down the millennia. to encourage us today as we enter into 2022. Lord, that we might do so with confidence, even though things around us might seem like they're falling apart. Lord, you are in control. You are achieving your purposes. We can trust in you. We can rejoice in your goodness. We pray, Lord, for this church and the wider community, that you might bless with a deepening walk with Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I think we've got